Well, it is a great day. Please take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians, please. Chapter 6. I'd like to share with you a little bit about prayer today. And I know that this is a subject that we have thought about as Christians and been very blessed about all through the years. And you learn, continue to learn a great deal about it. But prayer is probably, prayer is one of the most significant weapons in our arsenal in the spiritual battle in which we face in life. I think it's totally underestimated. So I want to put it in that context this morning. I think you're all very familiar that if you cry out to the Lord, He will hear you. That if you have a need, that He will answer that need according to His word. That there is nothing that you cannot ask your Father for help in, and that He will not deliver you and help you with. But it says here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, something that's very familiar to you all. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Putting on the armor, putting on the Word of God, which is obviously the number one weapon, armor, shield, sword, preparing yourself. But then it says praying with all prayer. And there are many different kinds of prayer in the Scripture. We're only going to think about one this morning. Obviously, you can't do everything. There's intercession, there's giving of thanks, there's praise, there's multiple subjects in prayer. But I want to deal with the one real, I think, not thought about aspect of prayer. That's too often. It's not thought about. In this verse 16, in the Message Bible, it says, "In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirit up so that no one falls behind or drops out." Sounds like a march to me. In the NAS Bible, it says, "With all prayer and petitions, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this view, be on alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints. In the New Living Translation, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all the believers everywhere. In the New Revised Standard Version, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times. In every prayer and supplication, to that keep alert and always persevere in supplications for all the saints. Back to the King James, verse 18, praying always. Prayer is something that if you're going to really survive the battle of this life, you're going to have to put a great deal of effort into. And it is one of the first things. The scriptures and prayer are the two biggest things that you're going to use in your daily life because we are facing a spiritual battle. You know, the evil that's in this world is unbelievable. And we're pretty well isolated. You know, evil other places is a whole lot more intense than it is in this neighborhood. And we got one of those really nice little lily kind of neighborhoods. You know, if you think of, I don't know how that came across, but it's easy around here. There are nations, countries where the hatred level is so high, where life is so cheap, that it makes that thing that went on in Colorado like nothing. Happens every other day. And yet we, for the most part, are so blessed in this nation and certainly so blessed to live around here. Not that there isn't evil around us. It is there. It's constant. But we are to keep praying. It's not, if you feel like it. It really is a matter of survival in the spiritual war. And it's with all prayer. There are many different kinds, and that's why I say you spend some time thinking about all the different aspects of prayer. All prayer. And being specific requests in the Spirit. What does that mean? God wants us to be specific in our prayers. We should be asking Him for the stuff that it's obvious. I ask Him for His blessing on my family. I ask Him for His protection for them, for His provision, for my daily bread, for you. I specifically think about you. I go down the list in my mind of all of those of you who are here. You are God's children. You are His family. And I fight for you in my prayers. And I consider it fighting for you. I don't consider it, oh, just throw up a little blessing. In my heart, I believe this verse. And it's in the Spirit. I'm asking my Father in heaven, what do they need? What would you have me to pray for them for? For my loved ones. Sometimes it's kind of obvious, but many times it's not. And if you walk by the Spirit, then He will put on your heart who to pray for, when to pray, and many times what to pray for. And sometimes you just won't know, and that's okay too. You just go to bat for them. It says, and watching. This word watching is a being on guard duty throughout the scriptures. This is not just, oh, just watch and see what comes your way. No, this is a sentry. You are on sentry duty. You are on the wall. And you are there watching. You're alert. You know what's going on. I love how it said it in the message thing. It says it's essential in this ongoing warfare to pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters and keep your eyes open. Don't go to sleep. You don't go to sleep on this thing. Like I said, it's not casual. Not when you feel like it, have time. You watch. And you do this with all perseverance. Because if you really, truly pray, you will have to persevere. Oh, I've been praying for a couple of years for this one. Nothing's happened. Maybe I ought to move on to something else. Duh. Does it seem hard at times? Does it seem like it's fruitless? Does it seem like I've been praying for years? And some, you know what? Somebody prayed for me for years before I came to the Word. I remember my mother telling me she was on her knees night after night, night after night. And I don't know how I survived my teenage years, to tell you the truth, except for her prayers. Somebody was pulling for me, because I wasn't pulling for myself at all. And I can't tell you. All I know is that she told me she was praying. I can tell you this. I know that I pull. I stand watch over those that God has put within my soul and responsibility to stand watch for. I know that my wife stands watch. And we take that responsibility just like we were on the wall. And you got to persevere with this. And you persevere with supplication, specific requests for all of God's people. We have brothers and sisters in different nations, on different continents, that are literally being persecuted for just the sheer fact that they want to be a Bible-reading Christian. And they're running for their lives. You have to pray for them. You may never know them. But maybe it's time, because I think it's really, truly time to stand up in our prayers and be counted and understand that they are significant, truly significant. And it's a matter of faith when you pray. Do you believe that the Word of God is the will of God? Do you believe that God hears you when you pray? I think almost all of you do. I know that because it's been around you for a while. So then, if he puts on your heart to pray for something, then do you know by faith that this is what my mission is, and this prayer, this moment, this time, and that whatever God needed to have done, he will be able to do? And maybe it's going to take a significant amount of time, and maybe it'll be just one sweet prayer with faith. But I won't know until I'm relieved. And he tells me by the Spirit to do something else. You follow me? I just think it's super significant. Go to Ezekiel chapter 33. Really want to show you what this spiritual watchman is about. It says in verse 1, I think our lives, our communities, our country, our world needs for God's children to stand up and take super serious your prayer. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 1, it says, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, and he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and talketh, and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. If he didn't get up and run when he was supposed to, or do what he was supposed to, and he loses his life, it's his fault. And he heard the sound of the trumpet, verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. God holds the man who stands watch accountable for that person's death. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them for me. And when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak and warn the wicked for his ways, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. I'm going to hold you accountable. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked for his way to run from it, and if he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. This is serious business, isn't it? Now, this is God speaking to his prophet. That's why prophets really don't care what the people think, because they take very seriously what God says here. And this truth is applicable to us. You are not prophets and you are not apostles. You're not held to the same level of accountability in that sense. God did not give you a specific revelation to warn a country, a city, a people. We are all to speak the word to one another. And we are all given that privilege as ambassadors. Those with ministries, they are the watchmen. Paul in Acts chapter 20, just in case you don't think it still runs in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 25, it says, and now behold, I know that you that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not spare the flock. Also, for your own selves shall men rise speaking perverse things, to draw away many disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every man night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that you so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he saith, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and he prayed with them. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Paul stood there, and he could literally say to these people, I have watched over you. I have been the one who has taught you. I've given you the whole thing. I've declared unto you the gospel. Now I'm warning you. After I'm gone, because you're not going to see me anymore, there are going to be those who are evil. And they're going to come into the church, and some of them will rise up right from within the church. And they won't spare the people. They won't spare the flock, the young Christians. And then he prayed with them. What do you think he prayed about? The very things that he was speaking of. I bring this to your attention because I think that we should pray likewise. There are constant examples throughout the scriptures, not only of asking God for his blessing and provision, for his help in our daily lives, for blessing and delivering others, for the outreach of his word among people who don't believe in him, but there are also many prayers to ask God for delivering us from evil. In Matthew chapter 6. And for asking for his judgment on those who are evil. At his discretion, not mine. I think it's something that the Christian church has been talked out of. I think it's one of the tools in the tool bag that is no longer used. You know, we're all talked into the fact that we're all supposed to be, oh, you're supposed to be loving and kind and nice, and we are. We are, definitely. But are we supposed to be stupid nice? I serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and my Heavenly Father. And I watch men of God all through the scriptures cry out to the Lord and ask him to deal with those who are evil and who are hurting and affecting God's people throughout the Old and the New Testament. When Paul walked in to talk to Felix, and there was that fellow there, Bar-Jesus, got in his way, he says, "You son of the devil," he says, "go blind." That wasn't very Christian-like, was it? At least that's the way we would think today. That's the way people would say today, "Oh, that wasn't nice." Again, I think God's people have been talked out of stuff very similar to that. I don't think it even crosses our minds many times to pray the way David prayed. Look at Psalm, the sixth Psalm. It says in verse 9, it says, "The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly." That doesn't sound very nice. But that was David's prayer. Now put it in context. "O Lord, rebuke not in thy anger, neither chastise me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. And in the grave, who shall give thee thanks?" David's about real close. I'm thinking I'm going to be dying here real soon. He's losing the battle that day. He's crying out because he believes, "I really need this, otherwise I'm a dead man. I am weary with my groanings. All the night make I my bed to swim." Between his sweat and his tears, his bed is soaking wet. "I water my couch with my tears. My eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all my enemies." See, it's not that he's having a bad day. He's got enemies. He's got people who chased him through the wilderness for 20 years. And they sought his life. Do you think that this is just one prayer in 20 years? And who is he asking for? This is happening to me because of my enemies. Verse 8, "Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly." That makes sense? There are people who are the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ and all God's children. Do you ask God to deal with them? Do you ask the Lord to make them ashamed? turn their, what they want to do to others back on themselves. I think it's biblical. I'm just bringing it to your attention. In Psalm 25, just to give you a little taste of this, because you need to read this and then not just dismiss these verses as if they are, well, he was having a bad moment. He didn't really mean it. See, 99% of our life and 99% of my teaching to you has been, you love him, you bless him, you pray for him, you ask for God's deliverance. But there are occasions and there are times at this end of it, which is almost non-existent in the Christian arsenal, is available to you also. But if you don't think it's right to do, you never will. Do you follow me? In the 25th Psalm, verse 19, consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. So I keep my soul and deliver me. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. God, deal with them. And one last time in the Psalms here, Psalm 31, verse 17. Read the context of these. In 31:17, it says, let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let them be dropped dead. Be killed. In 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 1. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, and for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Pray for deliverance from evil and unreasonable men. Don't tell God how. Ask for his deliverance. Walk by the Spirit, and he'll pray, and he will guide you as to whether you should pray for the change of their heart, their salvation, or, as David prayed, and Paul cursed many for their destruction. You ever notice you got all those little verses in the New Testament? Paul says, I've delivered them unto Satan so that they might learn not to blaspheme for the destruction of the flesh. Most Christians don't know what to do with those verses. Those are in the Scripture. If our prayer is walking by the Spirit, if it's godly inspired, then it will come to pass. If it's out of your ignorance, or it's out of your anger, or it's out of your flesh, what you want, you're just wasting your breath. But if you're walking by the Spirit of God, then he will take care of those things just as well. This is a little bit more than your normal nice Sunday, let's talk about prayer teaching. But I think it's really important really important. See, in 1 Timothy, in chapter 2, it says here, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, and this is the Apostle Paul, by revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to his replacement, a young minister. Okay? These are orders. Because Paul's going to be gone here in a few years. And he's teaching Timothy how he's supposed to handle the affairs of the church, how he's supposed to be walking and dealing with stuff. He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and prayers and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. This is first in a society, any society. When Paul wrote this, the Roman government ruled. Rome. We're not talking about the easiest neighborhood to live in. We're talking about life is worthless. Slaves are property. Killing them was okay. Raping them was okay. They were just things. Cheating, lying, murder. Sexual, all kinds of promiscuity, everything was okay. If it felt, it was the Pepsi generation. If it felt good, do it. Pray for those in authority. In the Roman Empire. Like I said, we got it easy today. Pray for them. Why? To convert them? Doesn't say that. Why is he being told to pray for them? So that God's people can lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So that they can do the word. The example of this is not new again. Go to Jeremiah. Now, could that include the outreach and the conversion of some of these leaders? Of course. But if you are under the heavy hand of a totally corrupt government, nation, people, authorities, who simply have to kill them. I suggest that you be praying for a quiet and peaceable life. And you put it in context of the way it is. In Jeremiah 29, God has he's had it with Israel. God's people have committed whoredoms, fornication, adultery. They've turned against him. They have not kept his word. They're not doing the Bible. They are destroying the prophet. They're killing the prophets. They've taken Jeremiah and they've thrown him in a sewer up to his neck and left him there. They're really treating God's man well. And all the things of God really well. I'm being facetious. God says, I'm done. You're going into bondage. I am going to sell you to my servant, the king of Babylon. He's going to be my servant. This ungodly guy who thinks that the whole world should bow to him. God says, I'm going to give you all to him for 70 years. 70. How many of you would survive it? My granddaughter might. And she didn't do nothing wrong, except for she's yelling out in the back. But do you follow me? God's people have turned away from God. So what does he tell them? Because he wants them to survive. He wants the next generation to come up. He wants to keep his promises and his covenants with Abraham. He wants Israel. But he doesn't want this bunch of people. Okay? Just like the guys that came out of Egypt. He delivered them. All those miracles. And then 10 times they turned against him. So you know what he said? You guys are all going to drop dead. I'll bring your kids in. They just got to hang out in the wilderness with you for 40 years. Oh, thank you, Mommy and Daddy. So God says to these people, verse 4, Jeremiah 29, keep this in mind when we're thinking about the Timothy record, to pray for those in authority so we can lead quiet and peaceable lives. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build you houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take you wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that you may bear sons and daughters, and that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. God says, you're going 70 years, you're going into captivity. You're going to be ruled and dominated by an ungodly people because you deserve it. But build your houses, plant your gardens, marry, give your children in marriage. I want everybody to, come on, keep it going, make a whole bunch. Prosper, be fruitful, multiply. Remember the first commandment he said to Adam and Eve? He wants his inheritance. Those that will accept him. And then he says to them, and pray for them. Pray for that city because its peace determines how much peace you have. You pray for those people because in Babylon, those ungodly people who just hate me and think that they have conquered me, because they've sacked my temple. They've taken all of the things out of the temple. You pray for them that they have peace because in their peace, you'll have peace. They go to war, you go to war. They die, you die. It wasn't to convert the Babylonians. Because your life in bondage in Babylon is going to be affected greatly by what they do, those authorities. Our lives, as peaceful and as loving as we'd like them to be, are greatly affected by ungodly and unreasonable men. And that's why you pray for those that are in authority so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. That's our plea so that we can move his word. But you have to ask the Lord for it. That's why I ask, Father, those that need to be judged, judge them. Those that need to be dead, make them dead. Those that need wisdom, give them wisdom. I have no problem praying any of those things because I know it's the will of the Lord. I can see it throughout the Bible. Is it the primary kind of prayer I pray? I pray it. I stand watch. Most of our prayer life is for the outreach of the word, for those who are in need, for love, for understanding, spiritual enlightenment, my daily bread. But if you think that what I have just shared with you is wrong, you'll never pray it. And if you don't pray it, guess what? You don't think it's possible. You have no faith concerning it. Do you follow me? I hope it's not too radical. Let me show you this. We are the children of Abraham, are we not? The children of faith. Are we not partakers of the promise of Abraham? Okay, go to Genesis. Let's read what that promise was. Genesis chapter 12. I have prayed this and know this to be true. And I have literally, I ain't going to give you any war story. I've seen this happen many times. Many times. Because I know that this to be the truth. I've said to a number of men that are really, I guess you would call peers or whatever, said, God judge between me and you. Other ministers. He did. I pray, literally, for the people who mislead and really screw the heads up of God's people that are preaching out there. I pray for their folly to be exposed. I pray, because they are like wolves. They ain't helping anybody. I pray for the evil, so that people are not seduced, so that the sheep are not destroyed. It's part of being a watchman. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. I pray and I pray and I ask God. And do I want bad things to happen to anybody? No. But I'm not afraid to defend God's people or his family. And don't worry about being so wrong. Because if he really has inspired you by the Spirit to pray such a prayer, he will bring it to pass. And if he hasn't, he'll show you that too. You can just simply ask him if it's out of your own stupid anger or your own thinking. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time that you and I were wrong, right? Don't be afraid. Walk. The whole point is, am I defending my family? Am I defending his? That's the difference. So I pray that these who mislead, really truly mislead, they look good on the outside. They got a smooth thing. But then, you know, some of these mega church guys, exposed homosexuals, exposed to all kinds of other activities that it wouldn't exactly call Christian. Or how about the multi-billion dollars in planes and real estate and all the rest of it that didn't go to the poor? And they just robbed the people and God. You can't find this in the Bible. Okay? That's where I get the little inclination that something's off. And I ask God to expose it. Not me, but it's my prayer. In Genesis chapter 12, 12, look at the promise. This is your promise too, for all those who believe. 12:1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You know, if anyone curses you, God will curse. There's a whole lot of prayers I don't have to pray. Because those who stand against you, he will curse. It's not, you know, he's going to love them and bless them. No. You're his child. You are his people. Now, if you turn against him, he'll have them come along and judge you, maybe. But you don't ever have to be worried about your reputation. Because if you're honestly walking for the Lord, and anyone who curses, speaks evil, stands against you, he will deal with on your behalf. That's why we can pray, deliver us from evil. Always, I don't know where the evil comes from or where it's going to approach, but I do know this, that my God has got my back and that he will inspire me and you to have each other's back as long as we choose to stand watch and pray. That's what I wanted to share with you this morning.